Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Success Circle Business Accelerator Call. This is Lisa Minini with Accelerate Associates and my very special guest, Dr. Liz Anderson Peacock, today. And we've got a great, great program for you today, all about empowerment. You're going to love her. Dr. Anderson Peacock was on my radio show, the Navigating Change radio show, and she's going to dive deeper in today into empowerment. Before I introduce her and we get started with that, I wanted to let you know that we've got a couple of events, but before I do that, I want to welcome any new Success Circle members to today's program. And also to let you know what the Business Accelerator Call is all about. It happens every second Tuesday at 4:30 p.m. Eastern Time. And as well, the Influencers Exchange Call happens every fourth Tuesday of every month, also at 4:30 p.m. And that's your opportunity. It's very interactive. We've sort of changed those calls this year, so if you haven't been on one, remember to register for those calls, and you can register in the Success Circle site under Influencers Exchange Calls. It's a great time to have an open forum, Q&A, to ask questions, as well as to network. So really interesting call on the Influencers Exchange Calls. You don't want to miss those. And as I mentioned, for this call, we are going to be sending out the CD, so you get one popped in the mail to you. You can also remember to download it, and that's available within 24 hours after the broadcast. So thank you so much for joining me today. And just a quick reminder about some upcoming events. And the biggest one is on Thursday and Friday, April 24th and 25th, for the annual Wake Up Profitable Intensive. If you are an alumni and you haven't yet registered, remember to register at accelerateassociates.com/WPI-alumni. It's WPI, Wake Up Profitable Intensive, dash alumni. And I wanted to let you know that we have released as of January 1st some of the alumni seats, so you'll want to register right away to make sure that you get yours if you haven't already registered. So remember to do that. And also remember, if you've already registered for the Wake Up Profitable Intensive, remember you have a guest ticket. And we have sent the link if you want to invite your guest, your business partner, with you or bring them with you. There is a special link where they register, and we have emailed that to you. If you have not received that along with your ticket, remember to email info@accelerateassociates.com for more information, although there will be more emails coming out to you on the details of the Wake Up Profitable Intensive. Lots of good stuff coming up, so I'm real excited to be already more than half filled for the Wake Up Profitable Intensive. So make sure that you do have your ticket. All right, well, let's get started on today's call, because this is going to be an amazing call about empowerment. And I want to introduce first Dr. Liz Anderson Peacock. Dr. Liz, as she's affectionately known, is a dynamic and internationally recognized expert in both the chiropractic profession and in the self-esteem, personal development, and wellness field. She engages audiences around the world, speaking and bringing a vitalistic approach to the workplace and teams, facilitating corporate groups, working on team building, motivation, matching values with vision, and encouraging an approach which embraces self-leadership over management. Now, her professional coaching clients and patients acknowledge her as pivotal, life-changing, and transformational. She's an author to 4 books and the writer for numerous publications. So, Dr. Liz, welcome to the Success Circle Business Accelerator Call.
It is an absolute delight, Lisa. Thank you for asking me to contribute.
Oh, my pleasure. You know, you talk about empowerment, just to turn it up. And you've also been known to say that it's more than the engagement of people. And before we can lead others, we must be able to lead ourselves. Tell us what you mean about empowerment.
Well, empowerment certainly means really that you matter. What you think, what you bring to every experience matters. And it's creating an environment where we, well, what I call an energy-rich environment, which is the environment that allows, for lack of a better way of putting it, our vibration to move up the scale, which allows us to be even more creative and solve problems at a higher level. And many people, what we see, will often be very busy in the doing stage. But as Stephen Covey said once, is that when we're climbing the ladder of success, there's nothing worse than climbing to the top rung and finding out the ladder is against the wrong wall. So the question we really want to be asking ourselves is, are we spending time in a way that is going to move us or lead us to our preferred future? So when we look at how we want to interact within ourselves, how we interact with our colleagues at work, what are the questions that are behind us and who do we bring as ourselves to that table, which will completely change the flavor and the outcome because of who we are as we come forward.
Now, you talk about leading up. Leading up.
Yes. So an example with that is, how do we move ourselves into a more energy-rich environment, which is going to allow us to become more creative, more aware of the impact, the tone, the effectiveness, or the effect we're having on not just ourselves, but the people that are also around us. So again, it's how do we move ourselves forward where we create the best outcome. And one of the challenges that I see with a lot of people is that people really aren't clear as to what their preferred future is. So it's sometimes a matter of going back to what we call the generative questions, which are the questions on what would I like my preferred future to be, taking stock of where you are now and looking at what that gap is, and then start to slowly fill in that gap. But the biggest question is, why do you want to go in that direction in the first place? And in going in that direction, are the strategic objectives that you're using, are the goals and the values consistent with moving you in that direction, or are they completely at odds? Because sometimes I find we get caught up in the minutiae. We get caught up in the little things that are sometimes even better delegated to other people. And really, in leading ourselves up, it's a matter of what are the important things to focus our energies on, and then what are the things that we can delegate out that we really do not need to micromanage. Mm-hmm. And then how do we put a team in place that we can delegate to with the checks and balances that work is going to be done, but empower them to come up with solutions, which in many times are even better than what we can conceive on our own.
So can a person measure their empowerment?
I don't know if you can measure empowerment on a necessarily on a scale, but I would think that you can measure the effectiveness that you have, which in the ability to empower other people. Because really what you're looking at there is you can measure how well other people feel that they've been able to contribute and be listened to, and how well you've provided an environment that supports ideas and productive feedback and supporting creativity and clarity and direction. So those are all measurables, but I don't know if you can actually, you know, really measure it within oneself, because I think, well, you might be able to in the standpoint, I guess, if you did a check-in and looked at where you are, and then what would a 10 out of 10 of empowerment look like in a masterful person of empowerment, and then you can rank yourself as where you currently are against that 10 out of 10 performance, and then slowly take little chunks on what would you need to do to move yourself forward. So, for example, if you ranked yourself at a 5 out of 10, and then you developed a checklist of what a 10 out of 10 performance would look like, then you can now start to say, okay, well, I'm going to implement one step. And then if you've done that one step, that might move you from a 5 to a 6. Mm-hmm. So in that way, you could rank it.
Mm-hmm. Now, you talk about some of the top to-dos to inspire and enroll oneself and lead others. What are some of those to-dos?
All right. First of all, the biggest thing I find is to get our mind chatter diminished. It is turning off that active brain so that we can really be present with what is, which allows us to then be open and available to what's going on around us. In my experience, it's not what we know that limits us, it's what we think we know or what we don't know. And quite often, what I find is really helpful is for people to do a check-in. And even with your audience listening to this right now, what if you just close your eyes for a moment and you just tune in to what your body's sensation is telling you. So it may be a feeling, it may be an emotion, or it could be a sensation. So it might be hot, cold, tired, excited, joy, hungry, thirsty, whatever it might be. There's a sensation or a feeling that's there. And what I suggest to people to do is to do this check-in on a regular basis, maybe a couple of times, maybe even three times a day. Write down whatever word comes to you. And then what you want to do from that is look and see, is this the word that I really want? If this was a word that represented me, is this what I want to represent me? And if it is not, then it's a matter of, okay, so what action do I need to take myself in the direction to a word that I would want to represent me? So, for example, if I feel anxious and I would prefer to feel calm because I make better decisions when I feel calm or peaceful, then what do I need to do to move myself from anxiousness into more peacefulness? It may be, you know, chunking down and removing some incompletions and tolerations and carving that out to get that handled. It may be saying no to some things. It may be that, you know what, I need to go to bed early or change up my diet. It may be that I need to do a little bit of visualization or a 3-minute meditation. It may be that I need to do a workout to, you know, dump down some of the stress chemicals that I've been squirting out all day long. And moving into that other direction. So it's first of all having the self-awareness of where you are. And if you aren't where you'd like to be, then what do you need to do to start moving yourself in that direction? Because that is going to create what we call an energy-rich environment, which provides energy to us. And how this kind of works is that when we are under stress, when we're in anxiety, when we're exhausted, when we don't feel well, what happens is we start to get into more of our animalistic brain, is the simplest way of putting it. But we evoke what's called the fight-or-flight reflex. We squirt out all these chemicals and hormones, and it would be fine if it was just for a short-term scenario, but quite often we start to do this over a long period of time. And what happens with that is we've actually shown that the brain becomes less creative. We end up to be far more reactionary, or we have we're focused really on, I'm going to say, a survival level. Versus really looking at self-actualization and transformation. And much of the creativity that goes on comes from our higher brain, comes from that, you know, frontal cortex, prefrontal cortex, the ideas and dreaming and creativity and solution, new solutions in ways that weren't seen before. That comes from that higher brain function, not when we're in the fight or flight reflex. So the goal is to empower ourselves by moving ourselves up the scale so that we can then, again, be present with what is so we can move our energy to something different.
I love that. So really turning off the brain, and then you gave some examples of how to do that and how to shift the energy.
Exactly. So quite often what will happen is that we may make decisions, I like to sort of qualify them a little bit, in that we may have a reflexive decision that we make, which I call that very low vibration. We don't really think about it. We don't consider. We don't weigh the options. It's usually very quick. The best example I can give you is if there's been someone in your life that can say a certain word that just triggers you to get your hair on end, you know, I think we've all had that happen.
Yeah, I think so.
You didn't even think before you responded, right? It was like, oh my gosh, how did I get from here to there like in a nanosecond? It was like a reflex.
Right.
And so that's a very physical response. It's almost like sticking your hand on a hot stove or stepping on a tack. You're reacting before you even think. So there's that level. Then there's more intuition, which I like to say is a combination between heart and mind that we blend together. And that's, there's some instincts involved in there. There's some consideration. And then there's inspiration, which are those momentous things that you almost feel like something is working through you. So An example I can give you that I think everyone can relate to is with my dad, because every one of us has had a dad at some point, but before my dad passed away, when he was elderly, I was the one that was given the responsibility of taking his driver's license away.
Mm.
And so not a fun scenario to have to do as a daughter. And my dad was literally has lived in 5 out of the 7 continents in the world. He fought in World War II. He was an engineer, very analytical, very high integrity. Because he fought in the war, he was all about freedom and self-autonomy. So here's his daughter, if you can imagine, having to say, "Dad, you can no longer drive." So, of course, if I went to him like that, which is, you know, if I didn't really think about what I wanted to say, and I said, "Dad, I've got to take your driver's license away," I'm definitely going to get a reflexive response from him. You can imagine what he would have said. So, in my mind, I went, okay, well, I'm not going to do that, because I already know what that answer is going to be, and it's not going to be very fun, and it's going to feel like I've really taken something from him.
Mm-hmm.
So then I went in sort of into my mind, and I thought my intuition was saying, well, he's an engineer, appeal to him as an engineer on safety. And I could have gone through all the scenarios. Dad, you have 2 fused feet. You use 1 foot on the gas, 1 foot on the brake. Can you really drive a car? Can you turn your head? You're using a walker to get to the cart, so on and so forth. And I knew that I could appeal to him to guilt the license out of him,
mm-hmm.
in the standpoint that he would feel really obligated from his high value of integrity and safety to have to give it up. But it's still that feeling of giving something up. So what I did is I thought, okay, I'm going to practice what I preach here. So I really tuned in, and I thought, what is the kindest answer? And I just literally shut off the noise of my brain and waited for something to come through. So I did a little mini meditation on it, and what came through is what I actually did. And what I did is I asked my mom and my brother, and I said, why don't we drive Dad around instead of him driving? Number one, we get to be with him more. Number two, we've got the safety issue handled. Number three, he has his license. We don't have to take it. They agreed. That's how I approached it to my dad. So it was literally, you know, Dad, we get to be with you. We can help you in and out of the car. It's a great excuse for us to just spend time, and we would just love to do it for you. And that way you've got your license. So we didn't take his license away. So it was really interesting because a couple weeks after we had been doing this, we were out in the back roads, and I said to my dad, "Dad, would you like to drive?" Thinking, you know, it's pretty safe. There's nothing around other than a ditch. And he looked at me and he said, "Hell no, I'm not safe to drive." I giggled with, and then he finished the sentence with saying, "But if I ever needed to, I would have a valid license." So when he passed away with a valid driver's license, and that world wasn't shrunk down for him. So that's what I mean about when we start talking about empowerment is how do we transform ourselves to then transform everything else around us.
Hmm. Wow, that's very powerful, very powerful. When you've also mentioned some top mistakes that are made around empowerment, what are some of those top mistakes?
Alrighty. I think one of the mistakes can be that we can come to conclusions before we've really considered what's going on. So what I mean by that is, for example, not to make assumptions, but to make sure that the word that's being said, that we understand the meaning behind what that word is. So I like to say it's like comparing apples to apples. But let me give you the example. If I say, "I'd like everyone on this call listening to think of a red car,"
mm-hmm.
and we polled everybody that was thinking of a red car, very few of us, I would assume, would think of the exact same car.
Mm-hmm.
So I might be thinking of a red Volvo or an Audi, and someone else is a Mini Cooper, someone else is, you know, we would have as many cars probably as many callers. So one of the mistakes I find when we're dealing with empowerment in other people is we do jump to conclusions. And that's certainly something that I have learned is to really ask questions so that I can really look for the good, see it and say it, get into that other person's world in such a way that I can ask a question that will illustrate that I understand what they're saying, or it creates clarity. So tell me more. Paint me a picture, what does that mean, help me to understand, And so I find that's one of the things that's certainly been very, very helpful to avoid a top mistake, especially when we're dealing with other people, when we want to empower other people. Another one is, especially when we are dealing with groups and we have to reprimand someone, always reprimand in private and praise in public. And I think that that's something that's absolutely huge, in that if we want more of a behavior, what we want to do is focus on the behavior we want, not focus on the behavior we don't want. So the encouragement of praising in public is always, I think, really, really helpful. I've already talked about looking for a kind solution. Mm-hmm. And then it's really a matter of understanding feedback and asking for feedback, I like to say, in a productive way. So, for example, I was just at a workshop, or giving a workshop, and one of the things I mentioned was how that we often use these scales on rank this seminar or rank this doctor or rank whatever from 0 to 10.
Right.
So you give it a number. You don't learn much from that number other than they like you more than they don't like you, or you're caught in the middle. You don't learn anything from that. But where we learn is by asking two more questions. So the next question would be, what did we do to deserve the number that you gave us? You know, why did you give us the number you did? So we learn a lot about that from another person's perspective if we really want the feedback. Mm-hmm. And then the second question is, what would it take to make this a 10 out of 10 if it isn't currently? Because now we get to learn what that other person perceives as being a 10 out of 10. So even taking this into a staff meeting, if you're brainstorming something with a number of people, people do want to contribute, but where they stop contributing is if they feel that they're being judged or reprimanded or feeling stupid, literally, or they've asked a silly question or they've put something silly, because 95% of the population cannot tell the difference, does not separate their idea from their own self-worth. So if the idea isn't accepted, then they feel lower about their own self-worth. So how we can get around that from an empowerment standpoint is we ask for the contribution of each single person. I like to use a whiteboard where we put all of the comments down, and then what we do is we go around in that group and say, what I like best is, where everyone focuses on every point and looks for the goodness of each point, and then you can start to tune it down to maybe the top two or three best ideas. But it creates buy-in. It creates engagement, it creates empowerment, because people feel heard and they get to hear how other people like what they've said as well, and then they may add on to it if it's the beginning point of a good idea.
And one of the things I love about that, especially in brainstorming, because I think the nature of when people start in groups to brainstorm, and they're like, we're going to brainstorm, great, we're going to brainstorm, and then people start throwing out ideas, and they're like, no, well, the only problem with that is, and then they start tearing it down, rather than first listen to all the ideas, no critique, no judgment, get them all out there first, and then, you know, say, okay, what's realistic here? What's on target? What do we like about this versus what we don't or how it won't work?
Exactly. And it's interesting, on the weekend, I was giving this seminar again to a bunch of doctors, and I was having them do a specific scenario and give each other feedback. And of course, you know, when you get into the whole doctor field, we like to think we're all perfectionists. And so it's very difficult to receive feedback from your peers because you want to be perfect from the get-go. But when we can provide the feedback in a way that is non-damaging to the person in the way they perceive it, it's so helpful. And so what I love with the way I ask them to give feedback is to look for the good, so what I like best is, and then if there's something that would work better for you personally, then rather than saying what I didn't like is, change it around to say what would work better for me personally is, and then that person can consider whether that feedback is something they want to listen to or not. And so not all feedback is always pertinent in the standpoint that it may be something that's way off the scale in what we find relevant. But then again, we may be receiving a lot of feedback that we're not aware of, which is we're talking external feedback here, that could be very, very helpful in the way others perceive us and how effective we can be. You know, I'm often reminded that quite often my friends are going to give me feedback far sooner than what I'm aware of that I need to change.
I like that. So some of the mistakes to avoid. So avoid jumping to assumptions or conclusions.
Mm-hmm.
Reprimand in private, praise in public. Look for a kind solution. A great example was with your father. I think that was just an amazing way to handle that, and especially a very difficult situation. And then ask for feedback, but more importantly, beyond the rating. I love that, and I love the way that you put that, because a rating is just a rating. Well, how could you make it a 10? What would take it there? Why did you rate it that way? Things that you know otherwise they may not have put down on an evaluation.
Exactly.
Great. So share with us, you talk about expanding creativity and the resourcefulness of your team. What are some, you know, solutions that people can find through expanding creativity and the resourcefulness of a team?
Okay, well, first of all, I think what's really important is for recognizing the inherent value of what each person brings to the team.
Mm-hmm.
And even though it may be a very different level of even education, there is huge value because of literally their presence in that world. There's a reason why they're there, as I like to say, is that they're going to come up with some things or have a perspective that is going to add value. And so there's one thing is creating the space for the conversation. And I used to really run my business as all business, and I have great relationships with patients. But with my staff, I was a little bit more automated on the standpoint of, I really want them to, these are the tasks I want you guys to do, and I expect you to do them, versus really forming a relationship, which I then, once I realized what I was doing, I shifted that in my practice.
Mm-hmm.
And I had staff that would go to bat for me. They would just do anything for me because they're invested in, I'm going to say, the bigger picture. So it's really a matter of, what is the big picture of what it is you want to create? How can each person's individual values and experiences contribute to that team? How do we quiet the noise in chunks of time to be able to tune in to evoke that creative voice, that intuition, if you will, that place that when you think of a problem and then all of a sudden an answer or a solution pops up, we need to create that space for that. And in my experience, most of us are not creating the space for self and that place that we can be quiet and tune in to bigger questions and receive answers just literally by putting our little radar up into the cosmos and the answer comes down. And the answer may not be something that's absolutely, you know, mind-shattering. It could be, oh, you know what? I remember a conversation. They would be a great mentor, or they would be a great resource, or I remember reading an article. It's amazing where these little bits start to connect, and it's creating all those connections and then moving forward and encouraging that to happen.
Great. What are some of the other ways to expand creativity and the resourcefulness of your team that you've learned over the years? Because, you know, you've had a practice and great relationships with your clients, and then you develop that relationship with your employees. What are some other solutions that you've found?
All right. So sometimes I like to say it's a little bit like a team in that you want to have some fun. And, you know, because, again, we can get into too much of a business seriousness. And so sometimes it's literally just doing something completely off the wall where there is, you just kind of decompress from it all. And I know with my staff, we would either do some seminars or we would do some silly things like go bowling or pick something, you know, ridiculously silly to do that everyone could have fun with doing. Because that also breaks down barriers as well. And so it is about, I like to say I do focus a lot on the experience of tuning in, quieting the mind.
Mm-hmm.
I think having fun creates that positive, enriched environment, which allows us to move up the vibration scale, which allows us to get out of our stress brain and into our creative brain.
Mm-hmm.
It could be posing a question. It could be, for some people, getting back to nature. I mean, there's a lot of different ways that this can happen.
Yeah.
But getting, you know, reconnected with nature. Like one of the times I know I was with a group and we decided we were going to do some horseback riding because it was really different. But the intent of it was to get a real connection with this animal. And then when we debriefed, it was amazing what came up for people. It was absolutely pivotal for some people on what they actually experienced and the breakthroughs and the creativity that they had. And one of the problems I find is that we are limited. What holds us back quite often in business is that there's a saying I say, is that we cannot outgrow our self-esteem and we cannot outperform our self-esteem, which really means that we are limited in our professional careers by where we are in our own personal development.
Mm-hmm.
So it is about developing yourself first. It is about developing your team first and moving forward with that big generative question of what is it we want to achieve? How do we want to get there? What are the strategies that are needed? Then what are the goals and what are the measurables and the outcomes that we can move ourselves forward towards?
Mm-hmm. And I have even shared, I think that's important not only for people that have employees, but even a number of my clients who are on this call who have independent contractors that work with them. So they developed an outsourced team. But I think some of these principles can still be used. And one principle that I love to do with meetings that really creates a lot of creativity is we start with a reflection moment. And so each person that comes to the meeting is tasked, you know, we share this responsibility of bringing something that is motivational or something that is meaningful, something that could be read during this reflection moment. And it's just a really great way to start a team meeting and get the focus, you know, and that creativity out and that energy up, as you've described.
Absolutely. And I mean, what I used to do with my staff is that I had regular staff meetings that we would have just a regular 1 hour meeting per week, and then every quarter we would do a half day, and every half year we would do a couple of days. But before we started every day, and at the end of every day, we spent about 5 minutes together, a lot like a huddle.
Mm-hmm.
And it was called our, before and end of day huddles. And what we did was we kind of looked through, what do we want to create today? If there was a word that would describe it, what would it be? Are there any challenges that we can see with, you know, respect to how this day is going to occur that we need to be prepped on? And at the end of the day, how do we do? What can we do better? What, you know, and we would sort of close the day off. And it was a real coming together as well as disbursement, coming together and then off you go at the end of the day. But it's interesting you talked about the reflective moment, because that's one of the things that we would do is we would usually get a book, and it would be a book of quotes. And each individual person had a different day, and they would literally just flick through the book, stick a finger in the book somewhere to stop at a page, and they would read whatever came up in that moment. And invariably, it anchored all of us. It allowed us to really focus on something more than ourselves, but we would find meaning in it. And I think that's really a key point is, how do we want to find meaning in the meaningful work that we do?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Another thing we've done is asking, again, sort of reflective questions in staff meetings, is when we want to look at what our preferred outcome is, just asking people to tune in, literally close their eyes, and answer the question for themselves on what needs to be embraced, what needs to be released, and what's next. And the what's next is, what do I need next to move myself into that direction? Or who do I need to have a conversation with? Or
let me repeat those three. What needs
sure.
to be
What needs to be embraced?
Embraced.
What needs to be released?
Mm-hmm.
And what's next?
I love that. What a powerful way to really, I mean, that could be for not only teams, but an individual. I mean, you could do that at any point.
Absolutely. Absolutely. because it really allows us to be present, and sometimes we just need to shed things, you know, perceptions, let something go, but it also gives us that responsibility to manage ourselves, and that is another key point with empowerment. It is about self-management. Let me remove the word management, because we manage your money, not people. It's about taking self-responsibility. So at any point in time, we are responsible for our thoughts, our images, our emotions, our behaviors, and how we interpret each one of those things will change an outcome every time.
Yep.
If we go in angry, we're going to have a certain outcome. If we go in curious, we'll have a different outcome.
Yep, change the inside, watch as the outside changes.
Exactly.
Yeah. So do you, as a doctor of chiropractic, do you see how things are manifested in issues and problems internally when people do not really embrace their own empowerment, when they don't empower themselves?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, we see that as all the different forms of stressors that come out. We see that in relationships that people have, which, again, manifest out in stress, and stress will manifest physically in so many different ways. We see that in communications, where people are withholding information, meaning they're not stating what their truth is. Sometimes you can really hold a team back by not stating what your perception is. And it may or may not be true. It's just, but if that's how you feel, I think it's an important thing to be stating. So we see everything from, tension in muscles to back pain or neck pain to the effect of the what we call psychomotor or psychosomatic, where the mind has an impact through that nervous system, through the spine, on how that body's functioning. We can get people that are very sympathetic dominant, or people that literally shut down what we call the parasympathetics, which is important for growth and repair. So those are the people that tend to not digest food well. They don't, they're exhausted, they've got leaky bowel, they're constipated. I mean, they've got all sorts of different things that can go on.
Because they're not doing what?
Well, really, it's if they get out of balance with not doing what their heart and the ability to break through what they need to say.
Oh, got it. Okay.
Yeah, and also if you're not living in your value system. Mm-hmm. So this is another key point, too, is that we all come in with values. Now, most people don't even understand what their own values are,
right.
But it's very easy to figure that out, and I'll get into that in a sec. And one of the concerns I always have is when you're living a life according to someone else's value system and not your own. So it could be your parents, it could be your peers, it could be the culture that you're in, but it may not be who you truly are. So a little exercise I love to give people is if you break your life into thirds, take an example in the first third of your life, a second, and then a third third of your life, that when life was not going well, it was difficult, it was hard, it was whatever it was for you, and write it out, because you get the whole neurological picture more so when you actually write it out and you can reread it, and get into the emotions of what was going on in that. So you want to basically paint a picture for a third party to really feel and almost touch what your experience was. So you go through three examples of that in the negative. And then you go through three examples of that in what I'm going to label the positive. So three outcomes of where you felt either connected or your life went well or whatever worked for you, but it worked really, really well. And it could be just a moment of a feeling. And what's really interesting is when you go through these six scenarios, the areas in the negative, what I'm labeling negative, are where your values are not being supported, or you might be going against your value system, and the areas that you feel really good about are where your values are being supported. So as a result, you can start to tease out what your values are. So if you have a corporate, if you're in a company that has values different from yours, that can be okay as long as you can link how your values fit into that culture. Now, if they go against you, then you may have some challenges that you may want to look at.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it's a really powerful exercise, because it's in my experience is when we live our life according to our highest values, we could be working so hard, but we feel fulfilled. It's not work. It's really like a calling, and it's like you're excited, you're engaged, you want to be involved. It gives you energy. When we go, like, when we're in an environment that is a complementary opposite, it's like drudgery. It's almost torture. It's so hard. And so I like to say it's a matter of how do we align our values, and or are we so far off that we cannot even get close to what someone else's value system is. But obviously, the more you can link into the value system, the better that is. So if I have a staff person and one of her highest values is, say, nurturing or, say, communication or connection, then I know exactly where I would want to put her in my office. You know, as a person that I would want in there to be assisting with patients. I wouldn't be putting her back in doing paperwork, for example, filling out forms, if she really loves to connect people. Whereas somebody else that just loves that whole analytical detail of, you know, taking a project and moving it forward, but doesn't necessarily want to be in the front with people because that's just not their thing, then they would be suiting better into that other position.
Perfect. Yep. And, you know, a lot of people have heard me talk about a person's hardwiring, something you're born with, and you're describing that is if they're hardwired to do that kind of thing, then that's great, because when you can align the work with who you are, it's not work.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I am going to open up the lines to see if there are any questions. I usually don't do this on this call, but I know that there's a number of you. If you have a question, I'm going to open up the lines right now, so hang on 1 second. So remember to *6, I think is it, if you are muted, to unmute yourself. But does anybody have any questions for Dr. Liz so far on anything that was covered? Anybody have any questions?
And I can get started also with one more example, too, on finding solutions through expanding creativity. When I was talking about slowing that mind chatter down, one of the other things I'm going to suggest for people is put down one of the balls that you're juggling.
Good
we
idea.
Are multitasking, and we each have so many balls in the air that we're juggling. We're daughters or sons or mothers or fathers or sisters or brothers and work colleagues and mentors and community members, and, you know, we have all of these balls of all these things that we need to do. And I'm going to suggest we focus on what are the highest priority ones that need to be in the air, and which are the ones that we can release, even momentarily, to calm things down in our life. So, for example, one of the things I'm going to do this summer at our cottage, we have no television set. It's on an island. It's in a glorious area. We're there a couple months a year. I didn't want TV because I wanted it to be very different and separate from what we would see at home. And not that we're big television watchers, but I wanted it different. I wanted people to be playing games up there or reading books and do things out of the, you know, just in a very different way. But this summer what I'm going to do is implement cell-free Sundays where everyone that comes up, if you want your cell phone on, that's fine, but you have to put it down in the boat. And if you want to make a call, you go down in the boat, because I don't want any cell phones on in my cottage. And let's just quiet down and turn off that external world for just a moment. So that's another thing, too, is that the ability for us to find time in areas that we think we're so busy, but in many ways it's a distraction. An example I can also give you is when I see patients that are exhausted, mm-hmm. when we come up to a long weekend, one of the things I ask them to do, if they can, is to take any telephones, keep them off unless it's emergency, but avoid looking at the clock for 3 days. The watch off, don't look at the clock. So you get up when you're waking up in the morning, you eat when you're hungry, you go to bed when you're tired. And within 3 days, these people will feel like they've been on a holiday, because generally that's what we tend to do on a holiday.
Yeah,
we don't
right.
follow the clock.
Right.
And so we actually tune in to what our body is actually asking us to do.
Great idea.
That's another really important key, and it's a simple procedure to do.
That is a great idea. You never think about that, but we are so connected to that. You know, it's funny, all the men in my family at one point went on this big fishing trip at some very remote part of Canada, and they were all bringing their cell phones. Of course, cell phones didn't work where they were going, and they realized, we don't have a watch. You know, everybody looks at their cell phone. So they just had to kind of go by the sun, but I think my dad was the only one who actually brought a watch. Nobody wears a watch anymore. But they said it was the weirdest thing, because they were like, what time is it?
Right.
But that's great.
It works so well. It's absolutely amazing. And it came to me really, again, in a moment of creativity. I thought, one of the reasons why people love vacations is because they're vacating their normal life. Sounds horrible, because really the life we live in is all we get. So why are we not doing the things in a way that vacation and life are synonymous? You know what I mean? Is that we get to vacate every day by being in our life versus having to leave it to feel rested. And, you know, it was really watching patients coming back after being away for a week or two, and it was like, what did you do? And they literally said, we just got up when we woke up and did our thing and went to bed when we were tired. I went, that's a good idea.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, I want to shift some gears here, because you've got some really wonderful complimentary things that you want to give the Success Circle members. And I want to make sure that we get this in there, because you've been very generous, and you actually have, you can get a meditation, a number of experts from excerpts from your book. You've got some audio recordings. Tell us about that.
Yes, if anyone would like to join, you're certainly welcome. There are a number of freebies on my website, and it's easy to get to. It's www.drliz.ca, so D-R-L-I-Z. I'm Canadian, .ca, and I also, as you know, have this teleconference that's coming up, and it's on February the 18th, 1:30 p.m. Eastern.
Tell us about that. What are you going to be covering? What can listeners expect?
Yeah, a little bit about what we had today. I'm going to be going into much more depth on how to move into our mastery and to create the best version of us, and really aligning one's daily practices towards success, and for you to start to define success on your own terms versus someone else's terms. So those are sort of the common elements we're looking at there. And if people miss that call because they do happen to be working or different time zone and it doesn't work, that is going to be recorded as well, so that can be available for anyone that signs up, and that's free.
Oh, fantastic. So that's February 18th at 1:30 p.m. Eastern Time, and that's going to be, they can go to drliz.ca/create. Again, it's drliz.ca/create, C-R-E-A-T-E, create. So, and that's complimentary as well. So, wow, they're very generous of you. Thank you.
Oh, my pleasure. My absolute pleasure.
So we have a few minutes here, and let's just round this out. And what is some advice that you would give someone who comes to you, maybe it's a patient of yours, to really charge up their empowerment? What are some, you know, nuggets of great wisdom that you would tell them?
Well, first thing I ask rather than tell is getting clear for you is, what is it that you want?
Mm-hmm.
What do you want to create? But more importantly, what is the feeling and or the sensation you want to create? And the reason why I focus more on that feeling is because I've seen people say they want a lot of things that we tend in North America to devote a lot of time on acquisition of stuff. And I've seen them be very, very empty once they've achieved those pinnacles, and they really aren't full of meaning. So It's more a matter of how do you want to feel, where are you now to compare to where you want to be,
mm-hmm.
whose responsibility is it to get you from where you are to where you want to be? Is it anyone else's or is it yours? Gotta face that one.
Right.
And what is it, what's your next step to start to move you in that direction? And so that's where I tend to do more of my work, in the standpoint of, do you need an accountability partner, mastermind partner? Do you need more information? What's going, you know, what direction do you want to take? And really revisiting these goals or these steps, I would say, on a regular basis. So it is to do a check-in. It's not just sort of a one-time deal, because that check-in is going to tell you whether you're on course or off course. And we do not need to see the whole journey from the get-go. You know, I only need to see the next 100 meters in front of my car, 100 yards in front of my car, to then see the next 100 meters. I don't need to see the whole course all at once. I just need to see what's ahead of me, and then once I get to that next step, the following step will tend to reveal itself.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's certain things that we may need a little bit, a few more steps ahead, but the point being is that we can get to from A to B in many different ways, and rarely is it a straight line. You know, I was in Vancouver on the weekend, flew to Toronto, and, you know, I'm often reminded that these planes are more off course than on course, but they have a GPS and an autopilot to put them back on course. But there's always this fine-tuning of the direction. I'm also a sailor, and if I go from point A to point B, I'd have to do a lot of different tacks with the wind to get me from A to B, but I still get there. So there's more than one way of getting there. Enjoy the journey. Take those moments to reflect, and as I said earlier, what can you embrace, what can you release, what is it that you can learn about yourself in this process that can then you can go, wow, that's pretty, that was a gift. That was truly a gift in my life. And then we can be thankful for those gifts, and that in itself will also empower.
Mm-hmm. I especially love that. What can I embrace? What can I release? What are the next steps? Is that it?
Yes.
Yeah, that's really powerful. And I think it's, you know, it's so simple, right? But it's so wise in its simplicity.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Again, I just want to repeat some of those websites. Again, Dr. Liz, drliz.ca, to get the excerpts, to join her newsletter, the audio recordings, and then remember on February 18th at 1:30 p.m. Eastern Time, drliz.ca/create. And that is your free teleconference where you're going to dive deeper into empowerment and creating a life you love.
Great, yes.
Okay, great, wonderful. Dr. Liz, thank you so much for sharing your words of wisdom with the Success Circle members. Really do appreciate you coming today and sharing all of your wealth of knowledge.
A delight. It was really fun, and thank you for the opportunity, Lisa. I really appreciate it.
You're very welcome. You can also catch Dr. Liz, her interview that she did with me on blogtalkradio.com/navigating_change. Again, that's blogtalkradio.com/navigating_change. And look her up. It's a fabulous interview that we did not too long ago, and again, really great information that she shared there as well. So again, thank you for coming on the Success Circle, everyone, and until next time, create a great life. Bye, everybody.